are listening to In the Limelight with Clarissa Burt. You can call into the program at 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. Or send an email to info@clarissaburt.com. Now back to In the Limelight.
Hey, everybody, you are back in the limelight with Clarissa Burt here on Voice America's Influencers Channel. It is another fabulously gorgeous Tuesday here in Phoenix, Arizona. And I want to thank the team down in downtown that are helping me out and making this show and me sound a lot better than I probably am. We've got another super influencer here on the show. Love my women influencers. I love them to pieces. And, you know, I had talked about on the post that we're going out about how everybody's bringing their best in show. And so, when we were talking to Vanessa Julia, we were talking about the beauty, her aesthetic, everything beauty expo, and how she's doing this show that has everything to do with anti-aging. We're going to be talking now with the writer, director, choreographer, and a TEDx producer. Dun, 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 dun. When we hear TEDx, I think people get their antenna go up because it's so cool to be on a TEDx stage. I'm so thrilled to welcome, not only is she an executive producer of TEDx Lincoln Square, but she's a choreographer in theater. She's worked in television. Oh, let me just bring her on and she'll tell you the rest. Trisha Brooke, welcome to the show.
Clarissa, I am so excited to be here with you today. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you are so welcome. We have met over a Zoom call, I believe, once or twice along the way, not in person, but we're going to rectify that this week when I get to New York City. Woo, cannot wait. So I'll be able to give you a hug in person. But in the meantime, I want everybody to know about the extraordinary work that you're doing. I have taken a deeper dive. I took a look at your videos. I've taken a look at your documentaries. I've taken a look at some of the things that you've done. And wow, kudos, girlfriend, because you really, really are kicking some major butt. So why don't you start with how it all started for you? Why did you decide to go into everything, let's call it show business and entertainment, for lack of a better word, and how it all got started for you?
Well, I was born to be a dancer. I grew up in Missouri, moved to New York City to pursue my career as a professional dancer, had a really awesome career for many years touring the world with several dance companies, and realized I wanted to continue telling other people's stories. So I began to write and direct and produce people's stories and put them onto stages and put them onto screens. And that has continued. I work in film and television and theater. I write shows for actors and I put them on stages. And as the executive producer of TEDx Lincoln Square, I also help people tell their stories and put them on my stage so that the world can be moved by the stories they're sharing.
So without a doubt, you know, people ask me how I got involved, I'll say, well, you know, I was Mary Poppins in the kindergarten play. And that's true. Of all the little girls that could have gotten up there and sung, you know, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, it was me. And so I think there was a predisposition for me earlier on that I just loved everything that was a stage. And I still to this day get goosebumps when I walk onto a movie set or a TV set. So when you were younger, how did you sort of think or realize or know that this was the path that you were going to take?
I knew that I needed to express myself as an artist through movement vocabulary. Mm-hmm. And it was something that I could do. It was something that I was really, really good at, passionate about, and it enabled me to have a very healthy life. It brought me great happiness. Mm-hmm. So when I decided to start telling the stories through writing, rather than through movement vocabulary, I realized that I could also change the world by writing shows or text. And then I realized that I could help other people tell those stories by directing them. And, you know, growing up on this side of the table where choreographers and directors can be one way, I realized that I wanted to create a safe environment for my speakers and my actors and my subjects in my documentaries, because I do believe that compassion and safe space can create as much extraordinary art as somebody who is not creating that safe space.
So were your beginnings lean, like most actors, artists, writers, producers, models, actors, you know, were they difficult in the beginning?
Absolutely. I heard a lot of no's. I heard a lot of no's, not this time. I was constantly going to auditions and not getting chosen. And I think that's where my tenacity and my drive came in. I wasn't going to let no stop me. So I started creating my own work. I started producing my own work so that I could get on my own stages. I started writing my own shows so that I could direct those with the actors that I wanted. So no meant, okay, let me just change my trajectory. Let me build the door that I can then walk through.
Yeah. Well, God love you, girlfriend, because I know that there were a lot of times, you know, it's a business that is, you know, it's kind of, it's difficult in the sense that we know we're going to get rejected a lot, and no is going to mean no. And some of my no's, I didn't always walk out of the door going skip-diddy-doo-dah. I mean, it kind of hurt.
The thing that's important and that I didn't know at the time that I know now and can share with your audience is no means they're just not buying what you're selling. It's not personal. Even though it can feel very, very personal in the moment, it's not.
Right.
So I think that helps you sort of get up out of bed every day.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it was something that I know now, but I didn't know then. And so, if somebody had told me that then, I may not have been. So, you know, I wouldn't have taken it so personally sometimes, and it wouldn't have hurt as much. So on to today. And so let's talk about some of the projects that you're working on now.
Well, I created directed and produced a short documentary called Just Enough with leadership coach and motivational speaker Jen Lederer. And it is all about what it means to be just enough as a woman and what it means to accept who you are, stand in your light, and be powerful. And the documentary is actually premiering at the Open Center in New York City on May 7th. And we're doing a virtual and a live premiere. So that's something I'm super excited about. I also created a documentary called This Dinner is Full, which is about Chris Shembra and his 747 Club, where he serves pasta sauce and empathy. And that is actually official selection at the New York Independent Film Festival right now in New York City. And that's happening, that screening on May 9th. Wow. So we just wrapped TEDx Lincoln Square in March, and it was a huge success. And Jamie Broderick, my co-producer, and I are talking about what the theme is going to be for next year. We just had a post-mortem call before this, and we're talking about what went well, what we can improve on, and how to make next year even more exciting.
How long did you do it for?
How long
was the run at Lincoln Square?
Well, it's one show, it's one event. So every year we have one event, and it's an all-day event. And the theme this year was Looking Beyond, and we had 12 speakers. We had an illusionist who opened the show because it's all about looking beyond. So I wanted his magic trick to get our minds expanded.
Yeah.
And then we had some Broadway singers close the show with an Alanis Morissette that I had specifically arranged for the event.
Wow. I love Alanis Morissette.
Me too. Yeah, our event is what I consider a theatrical academia. I really put my spin on it as a theatrical producer and somebody who's in the performing arts, in addition to having speakers who cover all topics. For example, this year we had an epidemiologist who talked about dormant viruses becoming active in space. We had Lolly Daskal talk about leadership and where it comes from. It really comes from within. We had a rabbi talk about political polarization. We had Mandy Antonacci talk about how we spend 75% of our time looking down and miss the potential opportunity to connect with other people in a very profound way. Right. So my event is extremely diverse in idea and in speaker.
Do you know what your theme is going to be for this next coming, TED?
No, this is the fun part. I get to sort of just let the goddess inform me. And that's what I do. I spend time just being open to what I think is interesting. And then we start to spitball and we start to run ideas off of each other of what the theme is going to be.
And when do you need to know by?
You know, the event is March 26, 2019. So we've got some time, but I really like to have everything in place by September 1 when we open up the application process.
Sure.
So people understand what the theme is.
Yeah, absolutely. Just going back to Alanis Morissette a second. She's the She's the spokesperson. Thanks for the extra sensitive person movement. Did you know that?
No, but I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And it was something that I didn't know about for a very long time. Thrilled to have found out about it. But there is actually, it's actually a thing. It's called extra sensitive people. So whether extra or sensitive to light or sound or touch or smell or all of those different things, it was something I just never understood about myself. And everybody just kept saying to me, "Oh, you're just such a pain in the ass." Well, I'm not really a pain in the ass. I just don't have. There are a lot of, you know, there's the sensory input that I just can't process it as well as others. And so, yeah, I went and I got the books and the workbook and other different things. And she is the spokesperson for that movement. So that's why I wanted to bring her back up real quick and tell you about that. Because I was so thrilled to say, wow, okay, it is a thing. And that's a thing I've got. And now I know, you know, how to deal with it. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know why I extra special love her. I think we have to go to break. Tricia, that's how quick that went. So we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about what you're doing. We are here in the limelight, everybody. We're talking to Tricia Brooke. She is a writer, a director, choreographer, and the TEDx producer up at Lincoln Square. We are going to be right back, so don't go away.
We don't follow, we lead. Join us, the Voice America Influencers Channel.
If you want to join the ranks of the influencers, you've got to think like an influencer. How about joining one of the top influencers in the world, Leonard Kim, for Grow Your Influence Tree? Leonard and his guests discuss the topics that aspiring influencers need to know, from brand building to getting yourself published and growing your audience. There's a bunch of fun and even some twists involved to keep you on your toes. You just have to listen every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Influencers Channel.
Tune in to The Spotlight with Tony D'Urso for an entertaining and thought-provoking weekly discussion with some of the top stars in their fields, from business, sports, and science to entertainment, music, literature, and current events. If you're looking for what's next and comparing it to what's now or what's past, look no further than The Spotlight with Tony D'Urso every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Influencers Channel.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective, plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at vapresspass.com. That's vapresspass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
This is the Voice America Influencers Channel. Be inspired.
You are listening to In the Limelight with Clarissa Burt. You can call into the program at 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. Or send an email to info@clarissaburt.com. Now back to In the Limelight.
Yep, you are back in the limelight here on Voice America's Influencers Channel. We are talking to Tricia Brooke today, and we were talking about the TEDx event that she produces in Lincoln Square in New York City right before we went to break. I wanted to take a little deeper dive on that with you, Tricia. And what, in your opinion, really makes for a great TEDx? How can people find out more about your event, get with you? And is there some sort of process that they have to go through to be considered?
That's such a great question, because I think people get terrified when they think about what it takes to walk onto a TEDx stage or to even apply and to connect with event organizers. And actually, right now on my podcast, The Big Talk, I'm interviewing 15 TEDx organizers. I'm pulling back the curtain so that people have more confidence in the process of reaching out to us or applying to get on the TEDx stage. So you can check out those episodes on iTunes. It's called The Big Talk with Tricia Brooke. And you can also check out TEDxLincolnSquare.com, where we have all the news about our event, which happens every March in New York City. Mm-hmm. And I think what's important, if you are considering taking your big talk off of your bucket list and putting it on your to-do list, the first thing you want to do is identify that your idea is a gift, not an ask, and an idea, not an issue. Mm-hmm. And it's really important that when you're presenting and to event organizers or taking a TEDx stage, that you are giving the audience a gift and that your idea is something they could potentially adopt as their own. The mm-hmm. worst thing you can do is pitch an event organizer your book or your business. That is not an idea. That mm-hmm. is you promoting yourself from the TEDx stage, and that's not what the platform is about. The platform is about creating new ways of thinking and potentially getting the audience to adopt your idea as their own and ideas worth spreading. So that's really the most important thing to consider if you want to mm-hmm. take a TEDx stage.
Right. And how? What is the protocol? In other words, what makes for you what is it that somebody writes and says, okay, they are definitely going to be on my stage?
That's a great question. For example, I come from a very creative
performing. Because I imagine you have many, many different applications, correct? How many applications are you getting?
We have hundreds. We have hundreds, which is not a lot. But it's a lot for a very small team. It's just me and Jamie Broderick, my co-producer. Mm-hmm. So what I love is when people get really, really creative. For example, one of my favorite applications this past year was a woman who applied with her talk about how air guitar can change your life. That was such a sexy talk to me because it was outside of the box. I wanted to know more. Her mm-hmm. application was really solid because she talked about how she overcame breast cancer by becoming a competitive air guitarist. And by overcoming, I mean she got through what it meant to have to be a survivor. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really powerful application.
Looking beyond, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Well, the whole theme of looking beyond for me was looking beyond gender, looking beyond race, looking beyond the space, the ocean, looking beyond sexuality and spirituality. It was about how it's important for us to look past what's happening right now and see beyond ourselves. That was really important to me, and it goes back to the diversity of my event.
Right. Everybody, if you're following along, you'd like to get on to TrishaBrook.com just to take a look at her website. It's also a way for you to keep in contact through, I see she's got Twitter and LinkedIn there. You can keep in contact. Trisha, T-R-I-C-I-A, Brook, B-R-O-U-K.com. I've taken a look at the TEDx platform and maybe doing, if you're doing it here close by and locally, it's not an easy go. I mean, there are a lot of the qualifications, restrictions, rules, regulations. It's a huge deal to put on a TEDx event.
It is a huge deal. And it's also funny. People don't realize we do this for free. This is completely all donated, and we are not allowed to make a cent on this. So any TEDx organizer and event organizer is doing it out of their own pocket and for free. Mm-hmm. And so we do it because we love it, because the community of TEDx organizers is such an incredible, vibrant, interesting community of human mm-hmm. beings, and because we get to meet so many awesome people who are giving talks. There is something so exciting about watching people become who they are meant to be as speakers on our stage. It's thrilling, mm-hmm. and I love, love, love it.
Mm-hmm. So what happens then? March 26th comes along. September this year comes along for March 26th of next year. So you're in September and you got an idea of what the theme is going to be next year. How do you get the word out? How do you let people know, okay, we're ready for applications now?
Well, my co-producer is the visibility and marketing strategist. So she does mm-hmm. all of the pushing on social media and gets the word out that way. But mm-hmm. because our events have been so successful and have sold out months in advance, mm-hmm. people have us on their radar. So they're waiting for the application process mm-hmm. to open up. Mm-hmm. We've got a list. People will subscribe to our website and get on our list so that they know when applications are open and what to expect. So it's really, at this point, it's word of mouth. And of course, we go after speakers. Mm-hmm. I go after people that I want. If you've got a great idea and you've never spoken in public before, that doesn't matter to me. I don't need you to be an expert public speaker. I need you to have an interesting idea.
Right. However, it looks to me like most of the people that are getting on TED stages, they look really, really professional. They look like they've done this their whole lives. And, you know, I don't know if they're super rehearsed or if they're just really knocking it out of the ballpark. I haven't seen one TED talk go awry.
There's a few. I think the most important thing is that the TED community and the TEDx community, we provide the support for the speakers so that they're prepared. We don't want anybody to go up there and do poorly. We want everyone mm-hmm. to succeed. And that's part of the community that I create and that Jamie and I create with TEDx Lincoln Square is that all of the speakers are the same. It doesn't matter if you've spoken a million times or never. Everyone is the same in my book. Everyone is on the same team. It's a community. Your talk is not more important than someone else's. So we really create the safe environment, the same thing that I do with my actors when I'm working on set. I create a safe environment so everyone can succeed and do their best.
Well, I think of it, if you're a first-time talker on a TEDx stage, that's rather audacious, number one. You know, that's a kudos to, you know, those that do. And what do you mean by, you know, you support the speakers? Is there some sort of rehearsal beforehand, or do you help them walk through it, or do they just show up one day and say, hi, I know I'm on in 10 minutes and all off they go. How do you support them along the way?
Not in my event. My event, they the second they're cast, I call it casting, mm-hmm. it's curating, but I the second
of course
they're
you do.
Cast is the beginning of January. We have 4 months. We have January, February, March. There's 3 months together. And we work on the blueprint. We work on the draft. We work on the outline. I work with them, everybody individually on the rehearsal and the performance and the delivery. So they get hands-on support, and I would never let anybody go on stage not ready. Not only would it not be good for our show and the level of excellence that I require of myself and my show, but also it wouldn't be good for them. I would never put a speaker in a position to go on stage unprepared. And in our first year, there was a speaker the day before who was not ready. And we had to make a very difficult decision to cut her talk down because she wasn't memorized. So in order to make sure she succeeded, we made the difficult decision to cut her talk. But what ended up happening is that she knocked it out of the park because she didn't have to worry about whether or not she was going to remember it.
Right. Is it true that a TED talk is 17 minutes long, could be no longer than that?
The number is 18, but Chris 18. Anderson says 12 is the new 18.
Okay. So it was 18, not 17. So I was misinformed. Right. And you're saying less is better now.
Absolutely. If you can say something succinctly and keep our energy and attention span going the entire time and walk off the stage hoping, wanting more, then you've succeeded.
So you've been really successful at TEDx, and I know that I'm going to ask you, do you feel year in and year out as you move forward that you've got a lot of pressure on you to one-up the last event?
Absolutely. But it's the same with everything I do. If I write a musical and it's really successful, the next one I write, I have to make sure that it's equally as, if not better. Every sitcom pilot I write, every film I produce, I continue to try to outdo myself every single time. So the pressure is definitely there, but I also trust the process. You know, I'm a creative, I'm an artist. So if I let the creative goddess speak to me, it's going to be as good, if not better, every year.
Do you take time to take a deep breath and sort of meditate a little bit on things, or are you just nonstop?
No, I always take time. There's no way I could be as prolific if I was just nonstop. The content would start to become generated, if that makes sense. It needs
Absolutely.
To really come from my heart and my soul, and with that means meditation and looking inside.
Absolutely. So we've got a minute to go. Everybody, I want you to be sure to follow Tricia Brook, TRICIABROUK.com. You can get more information about everything she is, everything she does, the goddess in her that speaks to her creatively. And you're going to want to know more about the TEDx event. So where do they get more information about the TEDx event? TEDxLincolnSquare.com?
Yep, TEDxLincolnSquare.com. And you can find out all about the documentaries and the screening of Just Enough on my Facebook page, which is Tricia Brook, TRICIABROUK.
Awesome. Okay, absolutely fantastic. We've got 30 seconds to go. If you have anything last minute words, parting words, let me have them now.
I think it's really important if everybody can always remember to be who they are, not who somebody else thinks you should be.
Oh, that's gorgeous. I love that. And here's mine that I often leave with people. And I can't remember. It says, that's awful. I'm having the hardest time with my memory right now, and I don't know what it is today, but I guess I've got an awful lot going on before I leave for New York City tomorrow. It's you're only as beautiful as your last good deed. So go out and make somebody's day. So there you go. Go out and do something beautiful for somebody.
I love that.
Thank you. All right, girlfriend. Thanks so much for being on the show. You have been listening to Tricia Book here in the limelight on Voice America's Influencers channel. Everybody, we will be back next Tuesday, same time, same place. So we'll see you then. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye now.
Thank you for joining your host, Clarissa Burt, for In the Limelight. Be sure to come back for another great show next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Influencers Channel. Make this your week.